All righty, cholesterol. People act like this is just a vitamin. Why, if you're an American, you're on a statin. It's just what you do. I do recommend that all prescribing physicians take the statins. Triple the dose. Because I think it's essential that you experience what you're asking the patient to experience. Now, I don't think there are too many products that I've ever recommended to a patient that I haven't taken first myself. How many of you are the same? I do Ovex. Makes my boobies hurt, but I sometimes will just take several doses of what I'm going to recommend just to know the taste. You know, if it blows back up, what does it taste like? What problems might ensue? Just so I know, so I can tell them, well, this one's dog butt nasty. I got to warn you about that. But I don't think the physicians want to do that. Now, the myth that's out there is that cholesterol itself is a problem. Of course, that is biochemical nonsense. And there is not evidence that that's true. I know you may be led to believe that there is, but there is not. Now, one of the first things you have to do, and we were not taught properly in school how to dissect and analyze the literature. Is there bad literature out there?
Yes.
Tons of bad literature, tons of defective studies. And we're not always qualified to know that. I'm not a statistician, so sometimes the errors are there and I wouldn't know that. But sometimes just by reading the conclusion and looking at a little bit of the preliminary layout of the study, you can recognize there are serious holes in this, and A does not imply B necessarily. Well, one of the things that I've learned over the years is the more heavily footnoted an article is, the more likely it's fraud. There are two ways I can assert something to you. If I have, remember, we were not taught the proper use of induction, deduction. With induction, I gather the facts, the data. Here's a study, here's a study, here's a study, here's a study. They each reached their conclusion, but my hypothesis uses all of that information. So I've induced my hypothesis and I make my inductive leap. What is that actually? What's the inductive leap? That's called a guess. But that's a professional guess. But that's how we proceed. Somebody has an insight, but that's a guess. It's an educated guess. And so if I were trying to prove my hypothesis to you, I would, in the body of my writing, discuss all of the studies, what they actually did and what they found, and how I think that affirms my hypothesis. I would not send you scurrying to references. I would tell you, I'd give you the references to validate what I said, but I would tell you what they found and why I think that supports my hypothesis. A fraudulent writer doesn't do that. You'll see certain buzzwords, like studies confirm, 20 footnotes. That almost always means studies do not confirm. Right? I would have told you what the studies said. Now, the studies might affirm or confirm, but they also might not. That's just intellectual fraud. Be honest with what is there and what is not. Then once I have my hypothesis, I will construct deductively experiments. Deduction says, if that, then this. So let's assume the hypothesis is true. Construct experiments. How many experiments need to fail for me to know the hypothesis as given is wrong? Only one experiment to know that that's not quite right. So then what do? We climb back down the ladder of induction, check our preliminary data, check my hypothesis. Oh, I see where the error was. I assumed too much. Let me back down a tad. Now the hypothesis will hold up. Well, that's good science and that's good writing, and there's some of that out there. But that's not most of what's published by any means whatsoever. So much of this information, again, you'll find on the CD. Now, here are the three sources of cholesterol. What is the impact of dietary cholesterol on circulating cholesterol? Zero. What percentage? It's not zero, but it's, yeah, not even 20. Authors will vary from 5 to 10%, some a little higher, but it isn't much. It is perhaps the least important, of the three sources, the least important contributing factor, what we absorb, because the body determines and regulates what it needs to absorb based on what's happening internally. The bulk of it is produced, not just in the liver, but look where your body produces cholesterol. The intestines, ovaries, muscle, skin, adrenal glands. What do you think that tells you about the body's considered importance of cholesterol when it makes it all over the place? It's telling you, I gotta have it. And one thing that will happen is if you eliminate cholesterol, production will go into overdrive. And so you'll see patients who go on a McDougall approach or some other thing where they take all fats out because they erroneously think that's good, and the cholesterol picture temporarily improves. But I get them a year later, 2 years later, where now it's not only bad, it's worse than it was before they started. They think I must have liver disease. Oh no, you're just starving. The liver actually is performing quite well. When I don't have enough dietary sources to top off the tank, I'll begin to overproduce because I don't have a choice. But then in order to produce cholesterol, I have to eat fats to get that steroid substructure. If I eat no fats, I can't even make it. Now I'm in real, real trouble. Those are the cases that we get. So peripheral cholesterol synthesis, liver synthesis, and then some to top off the tank from what we eat. Eat more and you'll make less. Bacon is the solution. All right. So let's talk about what happens with the statins. There's an article we're going to look at, and it'll be one of the first ones you'll want to print out. Again, it's on your CD. Now, let's start with acetyl-CoA and go back inside the mitochondria. This is inside the liver cell. And inside the mitochondria of that cell. Acetyl-CoA, everything we eat, protein, fat, carbohydrate, in order to produce energy, which remember at the cell level is what? ATP. So every turn of the cycle, we're going to spit out the 36 plus 4 ATP. Well, to do that, to get into the Krebs cycle, that requires acetyl-CoA. That's what chug-a-lug's in. So everything is ultimately, one way or the other, converted to glucose, glucose to acetyl-CoA, and then into the Krebs cycle. Well, what's not used up in the Krebs cycle cascades down acetyl-CoA, hydroxymethyl glutarate-CoA, and on down the pathway to make cholesterol. All right? The statins block the enzyme HMG-CoA reductase that takes me from this step to there. They simply shut it down. Well, will that reduce cholesterol production? Yeah, absolutely. It shuts it down. And so if that's all that happened by shutting it down, one might argue, at least on a temporary basis, that that's a good thing. But that's not all that's shut down. There are other aspects of the pathways, and not all are even clearly delineated. We don't really know what else is shut down by the statins. But one thing is ubiquinone. What is that? CoQ10. What does CoQ10 do? Yeah, we don't even really know all that it does. Some say it may be the most important of the bioflavonoids. It is essential for heart activity, which means all muscle activity. Well, that's a good thing to screw up. All right? Now, as a result, I don't normally do this, but because this is so scary to me, when a patient is on statins, because they have so hosed their system, I want them to go way beyond normal levels of CoQ10. I'll send them to the health food store. And here's what I have them take. And the reason is, I don't know how bad this is, nor does anybody else. The literature that I read currently suggests what's probably best for the patient who's on the statins is about 200 milligrams of CoQ10 per day. That's way beyond anything natural. Don't get me wrong. That is not a natural dose. But it's an unnatural circumstance for them to be on the statins. Most of the literature, for those doing the work, says 200 milligrams per day in an oil-based formulation. Dry powder doesn't seem to work as well. Oil-based. There are several companies that make that. The health food store, Ryam, Jarrow, a well-known company, J-A-R-R-O-W, they've got it. You know the best price I found? Trader Joe's, Trader Vic's. It's the same stuff under a different label. But that's only for that case. Now, I can give them CoQ10 in the microgram range with Cardio Plus. The label's incorrect. It's not milligrams, it's micrograms. I can't give them enough to overcome what the statins do with anything natural. I don't believe that. I don't think we can, because they have so hosed the system. So just bear in mind, at least think about doing more CoQ10, however you want to do it. But these people need some help, as you'll see. The other thing that's blocked with the statins, because the same pathway is blocked, are the dolichols. What are the dolichols? I never learned anything about them in school. We'll look at those in a minute. They are involved with expression of genetic activity inside the cell, protein formation. Yeah, we don't need that. That's not important. So let's look at this excellent article. You'll want to print this out, and if a patient is on the statins, you'll want them to read it. Now, there is a legal caution that I have to give you, and again, this is on your CD. And on the CD, they're divided into 10 folders for the categories of drugs, so everything will be there. Dangers of statin drugs, what you've not been told about popular cholesterol-lowering medicines. Now, let me give you a legal caution. If I give this article to a patient, What have I just done? I have endorsed everything that's in the article. Never be mistaken about that. I have endorsed anything and everything that's in the article. If I want to be safe, all right, let's take it to the issue of vaccines. That's a hot item in California. And silly chiropractors open their silly mouths and get in trouble by saying what? That they're dangerous, don't vaccinate. That's a death sentence. That's just silly. We may all think that. I certainly do. But you can't say that, not and keep your license. Now, many of us try to get around it this way. Well, I didn't say that, but I have a lot of books for them to read. A Shot in the Dark, Death by Vaccination, Vaccinations Killed Rome, or whatever you've got out there. That is your professional opinion. Anything in your office is your professional opinion. Those cases are so short, they just have the jury call in. They don't meet. I'm serious. Now, if you wanted to educate the patient, how could you do it legally, safely? You have to give both sides. You have to have the Kaiser pamphlet, and you could have an alternative. And you can't have one on a bigger, better rack than the other. That's how picayune this is. You can give both sides of the information, and you cannot give your opinion about which one you think is right. Now, we all do. I do. I'm just telling you, you'll lose. There have been many cases where DC has lost their license because of what they said. That's a battle you don't need to fight. You can win once, but then you're not helping anybody else. Well, that's the problem here. Now, I frankly don't hesitate. If you're on the statins, I tell them there's one side, mine, and it's right, because I just don't care. Somebody's got to help them. But I know, legally, I'm in jeopardy. Hypercholesterolemia is the health issue of the 21st century. It is actually an invented disease, a problem that emerged when health professionals learned how to measure cholesterol levels in the blood. High cholesterol exhibits no outward signs. Many people who feel perfectly healthy suffer from high cholesterol. In fact, feeling good is actually a symptom of high cholesterol. Sometimes the better you feel, the higher it is. Doctors who treat this new disease must first convince their patients that they're sick and need to take one or more expensive drugs for the rest of their lives, drugs that require regular checkups and blood tests. What does the commercial almost always tell you for the statins? You have to have your liver enzymes checked how often? Every 11 nanoseconds. You know, for anybody educated in human physiology, they'd know, well, that's not good. What does that tell you it might do to your liver? Destroy it. It's actually telling the liver not to do what it naturally does. Who suffers from high cholesterol? Peruse the medical literature of 25 or 30 years ago, and this was the answer then. Any middle-aged man whose cholesterol was over 240 and had other risk factors, smoking or overweight. Those are the two big ones and still are. Smoking, obese, and cholesterol over 240. Some weren't worried unless it was over 250. Now what is the latest number? 1984, it was lowered to 180. And now, in the public mind, what is the ideal cholesterol? Zero. That's what they think. Oh, they found cholesterol. What am I going to do? Now, I'm very nervous in my office seeing anybody's cholesterol below 220. I don't like to see that, unless there is a familial pattern that tells me that's low, that that's okay for them. But I like 220, 250, 240, somewhere in there with bacon grease dripping down their lips. Then I know they've got enough fats to make that body do what it needs to do. We just have to change the quality of what they're doing. The least important of all the numbers of a lipid profile, in fact, the one that really doesn't matter, is total cholesterol. That's the tail wagging the dog. More on that in a bit. When you take the statins, you block that HMG-CoA, and here's an example of a worst case. Findings of pediatricians, University of California, San Diego, there was a child who had a hereditary defect of HMG-CoA reductase. That's the one that blocks that enzyme and shuts down the production of cholesterol. Well, the child, and this, of course, is an exaggerated case, but they said, let's see if this really, really worked the way they want the drug to work, what would happen? The child was mentally retarded, microcephalic, small for his age, profoundly anemic, acidotic, and febrile, had cataracts. Predictably, cholesterol very low, 70 to 79 milligrams per deciliter, died at the age of 2 years. Well, we're not saying that the statins will do that, but who knows? Watch for depression, anemia, acidosis, frequent fevers, and cataracts. When we mess with this, we don't know what we're doing. Well, what about ubiquinone? Let me raise this up. Ubiquinone, or CoQ10, is a critical cellular nutrient biosynthesized in the mitochondria. Plays a role in ATP production in the cells and function as an electron carrier to cytochrome oxidase, our main cellular respiratory enzyme. Heart requires high levels of this. It was only isolated in the 60s. We don't really have a lot of information about this. It plays a role in maintaining membrane integrity, critical to nerve conduction and muscle integrity, vital for the production of elastin, collagen, side effects of CoQ10 deficiency, muscle wasting leading to weakness, and severe back pain. So we get a new patient, elderly patient, who's a cardiac case. They're on the statins. They've been on, how long the statins been out? Only about 10 years, not long. We're starting to see this come in now. Here's this refractive to any kind of care low back pain, and it can be driven by the statins. Of course, the other side would never admit that. So you're adjusting this patient. You're doing everything you'd normally do. And that all appears to be helping, but the low back pain just will not go away. It can be the statins. Now, the dolichols we knew nothing about from school. In the cells, they direct various proteins manufactured in response to DNA directives to their proper targets, ensuring that the cells respond directly to DNA instruction. So the statins act like a computer virus and just hose the system. Makes me want to take two in the morning. When someone takes the statins, nobody knows what the effects really are. But then who knows the effects of any drug, all of the effects? Nobody. Nobody knows all of the effects of any drug. We're just not that clever. The great danger is that we think we are. There was a study in Denmark. About 500,000 residents of Denmark found that people who took statins were more likely to develop polyneuropathy. Taking statins for 1 year raised the risk of nerve damage by about 15%. 2 years raised the risk about 26%. Well, the article's 32 pages long. I won't go through all of it. You should print it out and read it yourself. Now, don't become a nutcase about this. But for the patient who's open, you can simply have them read the article. If you want to present the other side, okay, just give them the PDR information. That's even scarier. So I'd recommend that. You could say, well, I gave them both sides. I gave them the drug insert from the PDR. And then I gave them the rest of the story. I've never had anyone read this who didn't come back and say, how do I get off this? And I tell them, don't stop. No, no, no. Don't stop now. There would be such a rebound effect that that could be risky. True of almost all meds. Don't stop. I'm not saying stop. But let's eliminate the need to be taking them. And then you can ask the physician why you should do it. Of course, they won't have an answer. All righty. If you've not read this book, make sure you get it. It's now available at Amazon.com, The Cholesterol Myths by Ravenskov. For a long time, it was only published online. You couldn't find it anywhere. He couldn't get anyone to publish it. They were afraid to take on the drug industry. Well, now he finally did. And he points out some things that we know, obviously. Cholesterol is not a deadly poison. High cholesterol itself means nothing. In fact, if you recall, Broda Barnes, in his book Hypothyroidism, The Unsuspected Illness, said the best evidence for a failing thyroid is a high total cholesterol. The body is trying to adapt to a weakened thyroid and is raising total cholesterol to have more patching material available for leaking capillary systems. He said high cholesterol means low thyroid, get to work, and he believed it was incredibly easily correctable. Well, in my experience, it is. Not for every patient, but I'll bet 9 out of 10 at least, or 9.95 out of 100. If they'll do what we recommend, they won't need the drugs. High cholesterol is said to promote atherosclerosis and thus also coronary heart disease, but many studies have shown that people whose high blood cholesterol is low become just as atherosclerotic as people whose cholesterol is high. Now, here's what the rags do. They'll point out studies that show a positive correlation, but what do they not report? The studies that do not show that correlation, which means we don't know. That's how they cheat. Here's a study that says A implies B, but there were two other studies that did not show the correlation. That's the fraud. And they almost have to know those other studies are there in order to leave them out. Number three, your body produces, we've talked about that, 3 to 4 times, some say 9, 10 times more than what you could possibly eat. The prudent diet, diets that restrict fats work for a little while, but they do not, for most people, work a long time. There is no evidence that too much animal fat and cholesterol in the diet promotes atherosclerosis or heart attacks. It is not there. What they'll do is associative studies, and they always leave out the other studies that did not find that correlation. So they cherry pick what they want to publish, and they make it look really good. The studies say, oh, which studies? Can I show you the rest of the studies? This is the one good thing about the internet. I mean, the internet is filled with web crap. It's mostly just nonsense floating around, but at least you can access good stuff. And so I recommend you use things like PubMed, www.pubmed.org, I think it is. And you can get the abstract, at least, at no cost for just about anything, and find out what the study did. It's my favorite game during the day. Whenever I read a study or a footnote that implies something that just doesn't seem to make sense, when I pull up the actual article, sure enough, that isn't what the study was about at all, and that wasn't the finding of the study. This is intellectual fraud again. And it's easily done, or it was easily done in time past, because we didn't have the tools to access all of the articles. Now we do. More than 20 studies have shown that people who've had a heart attack have not eaten more fat of any kind than other people, and the degree of atherosclerosis at autopsy is not related to diet at all. In 20, now it's actually close to 100 studies. They found no correlation. You never hear about those. The only effective way to force cholesterol down is with drugs. Drugs will do it. The statins will force it down, but again, at great cost. Recent patient, his daughter is a chiropractor. She was at a seminar. She brought her daddy in. He didn't want to be in there. So, you know, this is one of those visits where the man is forced into the office, and you know that's not going to go well anyway. And he's forced by his little girl. So we had to do some male ego stuff. I just slapped him, and that's how we started. He and I were exactly the same age. I said, dude, come on. Your daughter's right. You're wrong. Get over it. Did you not pay for her education? He said, yeah, I did. I said, well, then shut up. We're talking about return on your investment now. She's trying to keep you alive. And she's in the room, and I said, why are you doing this? And she said, because I love my daddy, and I don't want him to die young. I said, dude, what are you going to do with that one? He said, well, okay. His cholesterol had gotten up to just under 400, and they put him on Lipitor and got it down to close to 200. He read some information the daughter gave him about statins, and he said, doesn't sound to me like this is a good idea. I said, well, it's not, but even I would be concerned about cholesterol pushing 400. Now, not because of the cholesterol, that actually is irrelevant, but it means this is a body that's not working right. Something is wrong somewhere. I don't care about the number. That's just a red flag that something else is broken. Cholesterol itself is not relevant, but it shouldn't be that high unless you have a familial pattern. Long history of everybody being high. He said, no, we don't. Not that I know of. I said, okay, let's find the problem and see if we can fix it. Well, the major change for all of these people is, of course, diet. That's 75% of the battle. That's why this is so easily corrected. He did what I recommended and stopped, despite my counsel. I said, don't stop the drugs. He did anyway, because his daughter told him. As soon as we left, she said, well, I want you to go ahead and just stop the drugs. I came unglued when I heard that. I said, that could be very dangerous. You shouldn't have told him. She said, well, I'm confident. I said, yeah, but your confidence affects my license. Don't do that. All right. Nevertheless, cholesterol did what? Now, he went on a good diet. He cut the carbohydrates, things you know I would have told him. There was an artificial reduction in cholesterol. What happened? It spiked. It would have to spike because it was suppressed. But it only spiked to about 300. And then it came back down. In fact, it came down to 200, the lowest it had ever been, even with statins. All right? So I know that what I'm going to recommend will work if the patient will do it, but they've got to be cautious. And sometimes the problem is they will rush from your office back to their real doctor and tell them what you said. And then they go in and have blood drawn about 10 days later. And what has happened to cholesterol? It has spiked. I know it will spike. It'll spike for about the next 4 weeks. So I tell them, do not go back. Don't answer your phone. Tell them you've moved. Don't have blood drawn for 2 or 3 months. It's going to spike. It always does as the body bounces back and begins to deal with cholesterol. That's assuming they're on the drugs. You know, again, it was artificially suppressed. So don't let them get blood drawn, or if so, make sure it's you doing it and expect the values to be worse. It will. The new cholesterol-lowering drugs do prevent cardiovascular disease, but if they do, and that's controversial, it's because of an anti-inflammatory effect, not because of any effect on cholesterol. Now, the real data is there in the scientific journals. You were not shown it in school. We don't have time to find it, nor does it ever make the evening news. Because who determines what's on the evening news? The sponsors. And they don't like this information being presented. And if you do it, you will lose a sponsor. Well, we have freedom of the press. You do. You do. But you don't have any electricity in your building. But you're free to publish whatever you want and say whatever you want. We're just not paying your bills. That's how that works. And, of course, the public knows nothing about it. So get that book, The Cholesterol Myths, and read it. That plus the article will fully arm you. A lot of this we already know. Cholesterol is best used as an indicator of other stuff. It's just a red flag to tell me. Now, what I want to check is the HDL-LDL ratio. I was delighted. My wife, her mother, her sister, all their lives have had cholesterol around 250, 260, 270. That's where it is. They're not sure about the grandmother, but back to the mother, it seems to always be high. I was delighted recently. My wife went in just for an annual physical to the health plan that we have. I don't even know who it is. And the first report came back with red arrows and so forth. Call immediately because the cholesterol was 260. That's actually kind of normal for her. Weight is perfectly fine and incredibly healthy. And they wanted her to come back in, and of course, she knew what they were going to do. What would they have had her do? They'd be on a statin right away. She requested a different physician. She called and said, I'd like this to be reviewed by someone else in the group. This was a new lady doctor that she hadn't met. She simply said, I want somebody else to review it. Here comes another report. Upon reviewing your entire case history, I think this is perfectly normal for you. No need to go any further. I looked at that and said, we owe somebody a lunch. We got to find out who this is and find out if we can have a working relationship. Because when she looked at HDL-LDL ratios, the family history, she said, well, for someone else, this is high, but not for you. This is fine for you. But I've seen so many Kaiser patients come in with a lipid profile that consisted of one number, total cholesterol only. And on the basis of that, a script for a statin was given. That is the way the game is played. Well, we want to spend some time talking about thyroid because you'll find a great many of them are hypercholesterolemic because of a failing thyroid. So,
what is a good ratio?
It depends on the lab. The question is, what is a good ratio? The individual labs will give you their stats, so I can't say. But normally, above 5 to 1, they're going to say you're above average risk, 3 to 1, you're normal, and so forth. So they'll each have their own scale. It is easy to get these people below average risk, living on bacon and eggs. I only do it every day. The labs come in. All righty. So what would increase it? My numbers up there are really irrelevant. It's your lab's numbers that are going to matter, but then that'll vary according to the patient's history. What would increase it? Well, the crap carbs. Now, we'll talk about that more under sugar because it's going to be the same recommendation. But the thing that drives up cholesterol, remember that chain? All right, anything that is increasing what in the bloodstream is going to increase cholesterol? Acetyl-CoA, but what's the precursor? One step before? Glucose. Anything that raises glucose mandates an increased production of cholesterol. Body has no choice. That's where it's going to go. And so the single greatest effect is not fat. It's carbohydrates of any form, simple, complex, from Mars. It doesn't matter. Carbohydrates in excess are the thing that drive cholesterol. Well, that was Robert Atkins' message all of his career, but he couldn't get his colleagues to listen. So we have to teach people to eat properly, and we'll come to that a little bit later. But cutting the carbohydrates in general is the fastest way to reduce the total cholesterol because the body does not have to overproduce. So we'll counsel them on that, and we'll spend more time under another section. But obesity, now normally those first two are linked together. Story of my life, I weighed 110 pounds at birth. I came out carrying a Hostess cupcake and wanted more. It has always been my battle. I am a carbo pig junkie. Do I have any colleagues here? Oh, look at you liars. Room filled full of liars. Look at that. No, I don't like purists. If you're a purist, I don't want to be around you. Purists make me nauseous. All right? I don't.